everybody, and welcome to Auto Nerd. Finally, we are on YouTube. All right, away from just the podcast and writing articles, it is time to have some fun. So here's the deal. Today, we're going to be talking about customer satisfaction, or rather, raising the customer experience in the area of delivering new technologies to people that simply just struggle with them, right? So when we take an individual that knows technology well, we have the ability of basically running them through the gamut of everything that's on the car, right? So I'm going to call this particular individual the tech wizard, right? The person that swoops on in that helps you out. Little side note here. So the podcast is called Auto Nerd with a K. Many people don't realize this. If you're in the gamer community, you probably do. And I went to a tech school, so this by proxy just kind of traveled with me. But throwing the K on in there in front of nerd is the knight that comes in and fixes your computer when you just completely decimated that thing. So as far as that goes, I have been known to dabble in an awful lot of technology. But this dabbling in technology led me down the path of attempting to understand how exactly people work with the items that they use every day, and then also how exactly they are introduced and get to know the items that they don't know, right? So next generation cutting edge sort of technology. So how do we get those people to adapt? So recently, a friend of mine, their parents ended up getting into, or the mother rather, got into a really bad car accident. So she was just fine. Thank you for asking. But she ended up getting the whole back of her little, I think it was a Honda Fit, just completely destroyed. I mean, this guy in the truck just was not paying attention. Rear-ended her in the back of her car. It was quite literally flat. I thought that was kind of cool. But she was just fine. No issue there. But the reason that I bring this up is that she is of the age where she wants what she wants, and she's not going to change no matter what. And I understand it. I get it. We have a whole generation of people that right now, when it comes to technology, they're effectively being left behind. And there's not much that we can do about that, right? So unless you're somebody that is, I don't know, you're at an auto manufacturer, and then all of a sudden you want to go ahead and make the Cricket of cars, then yeah, we might have some success with the older generation adapting to new age vehicles a lot easier. Because back when I was selling, I remember people coming in and saying, well, I want power windows and power locks and cruise control and just like the normal basics. And I'm sure you get this as well. But we also have people that will go ahead and say, well, you know, I don't want navigation. I don't want any of those screens. I don't want. And then they go down the list of complicated technologies that they don't want in their cars. And really, can you blame them? Because when you look at how people interact with electronics, we have, in general, three different types of people that we deal with, right? So we have people that are what I like to refer to as technologically deficient, right? They're technologically deficient in the areas of being able to easily adapt to new technology. And this is because they're set in their ways. And I can't blame these individuals. These individuals are doing what they can to get by in a digital world that is becoming more digitized as the day rolls on. And eventually they're going to be left behind. And that's a sad fact of the matter. If they don't get on board in some way, either A, they're going to be left behind, or B, they'll die. And so I know that sounds crude, but that is the reality of the situation. And now, or we can educate them, right? So the technologically deficient out there are willing to learn in some circumstances, right? And so we know this because they'll recruit their, you know, closest 7 to 12-year-old grandchild and have them walk them through how things work. And fortunately, the younger the child, the more basic the walkthrough in some circumstances, right? Or you just hand the phone to the kid and the kid just goes ahead and we're there, done. And then, you know, the grandparent's happy. But when it comes to cars, we can't quite just toss somebody the keys and hope for the best anymore, because now you have vehicles that do quite literally. I mean, if you've been watching the news, Tesla just released the full self-driving on their vehicles, and it's $100 a month. If I had a Tesla, I'd be paying for it. The reason is, it sounds incredible. But even though full self-driving on something like a Tesla takes the responsibility and also interaction of, reduces responsibility of driving, and then also bumps up the ability to allow the individual that is driving the vehicle to now interact with the vehicle, mainly the head unit and things of that nature. And by going ahead and doing this, this allows somebody to go ahead and liberate themselves from those incredibly complicated technologies that would just drive them up a wall. And in one way, I find that really cool, is that your customer has the ability to go ahead and say, no, I don't want that. Therefore, I'm going to pay for a new technology that allows me to alleviate myself of that particular stress. But that's not how those items are sold, right? Those items are sold of, hey, look, it drives itself. Old timer looks at it and goes, no, I don't want that. Well, why wouldn't you want that? That sounds absolutely amazing. I mean, you don't have to interact with anything. You just tell it where you want it to go. And in the future, it's quite literally going to be, hey, take me to Starbucks, and it just drives you there. We're not quite there yet, but that is down the pipe. It's clearly on the roadmap. But with these tech deficient individuals, these individuals that are trying, right? So I'm not talking about the people that have completely written off technology. If they've wrote off technology, there's not much we can do with them other than teach them at delivery once they've finally settled on a car to fall in love with it, or at least be able to start the thing. Now, with, again, back to the original individual. So my friend's mother ended up getting into an accident, and she has sworn up and down she wants a vehicle that has a key. I scoured the internet, found a couple of them out there, but then she threw this curveball at me. I want a new car, needs to have a key, and I need a CD player. And I was like, oh, No. And so conversation started with, let's convert all your music and make it so you can actually get into a vehicle without a CD player. And get this, ready? All you need to do is click the voice button in most vehicles and just tell it what you want to listen to, and it'll simply go ahead and do it. No. Okay, I guess I'm missing the point here. So you're telling me, no, you don't want it simply because of it's not the norm for them. So when things get too techy, even if they become easier to use, and in some ways they do become a lot easier to use, and we could see this coming up with AI, we could see it with voice recognition, we can see it in all sorts of different areas. And when this starts to happen, you'll find people that will simply just become hesitant, because being hesitant is easy. Being hesitant is the direct path to safety. And it built into all of us, and you will hear me say this over and over and over again, because it is one of those functional truths about being human, is that we rely quite heavily on our emotional state when it comes to the whole fight or flight sort of thing to keep us in an area where we will not fear what is about to happen. Now, I can't really go ahead and poke holes in the fact that a lot of people, when they are out there driving their vehicles around, and they're brand new with their cars, that as they're moving around in space with their vehicle and they're interacting with it, they are actually scared in many ways to touch that one button over there, because I don't know what it does. Well, that one button over there, and you don't know what it does, is just simply the blinkers on the car. Oh, well, I wish somebody pointed that out to me. Yeah, that's not involved in any of the other things that you find to be excessively complicated on your vehicle. It's just simply not. So we have to slow down in some areas, and we have to know our audience. And this is one of the reasons that I rely so heavily when we talk about needs assessment and building gross and a better financial future and all that fun stuff. The reason that I concentrate so hard there is simply because if we don't know that individual, we have no way of selling that individual anything properly. And by selling them anything properly, this means going ahead and actually selecting a car that they want. Let me repeat that. That means selecting a vehicle for them to look at based on the information that they handed you. Now, if I have a customer sitting in front of me and I find out that they are technologically deficient, they're one of those individuals that's like, no, I don't want anything new. I want old technology. If you have, you know, that old like Lincoln Grand Marquis or whatever it might be, I will buy it, because it doesn't have nav. It has basic stuff. The radio is easy to use. Big knobs. I mean, it's in their wheelhouse. So with that particular customer, what do you do, right? Well, there's a couple of cool things. One is a lot of auto manufacturers actually make a second face on their audio system that looks like an old-timey radio. kind of works, but you got to get into it every single time that you get in the car. The other thing that you can do is that when you're taking your notes during needs assessment, rely on those original core items that a lot of cars would have. Now, if you're brand new in this business, and I bump into this a lot, and I have a lot of people that will go, well, you know, I wasn't even born then. Okay, I get it. I'm getting older and everybody's getting younger. But look at what cars came with or what is essential to drive a car and be healthily comfortable. This means that when somebody comes in and they're talking to you and they're going, well, I need, you know, air conditioning. Cool. They all have it. Check. But it's not just saying that the car has it anymore. It's here's how it actually functionally works on the car. Because if we don't show the customer how it actually works on the vehicle, we're going to run into a lot of issues with, well, I can't adjust my climate control. I can't go ahead and get my blower going. Or I got in the vehicle and the blower was just going and going and going and I couldn't get the thing to turn off. Okay, so this becomes an issue on our surveys. We get hammered on it and customers destroy us over things of like features and functions and not understanding the benefits. And so anyways, we can go down that path for a while. But long story short, is that we have to understand that we have to take some baby steps with these individuals. We have to build up the technology. We have to go ahead and rely on the customer understands that this feature exists. Let's start there. And then let's build up, right? So when you have a customer that comes in and let's say they are that old K car, right? We see this occasionally down here in the South where I am, but just simply because some people buy a car, they tend to keep it forever. And so as they keep this vehicle pretty much forever, and one of the reasons for that is that after you've bought a car, if you're from the Depression era, you keep your car, right? It's working, it's running, why bother getting rid of it? And I totally understand this because when we take a look at, you know, the cars that come on in, most of them drive. Your customer, as I've said many times, and I'll say it many times again, they don't need a vehicle. They want a new car, right? So we got to sell that emotional side. And we need to make sure that they're emotionally motivated to buy the car. If they're not emotionally motivated to buy the car, then quite honestly, you're sacrificing gross, you're sacrificing your own personal happiness, you're sacrificing dealer profitability. You got to make them happy. And as the customer gets happy with the vehicle, they love it. So let's go back to that. When it comes down to the customer's ability to say yes to buying a vehicle that has complicated tech on it, we have to take those baby steps, right? So if you're showing them those old window switches and you know that they're driving one of these really old vehicles, well, go ahead and have them actually touch it, play with it, right? With adults, we are very much physical learners, meaning that when we have issues in our lives or we don't know how to do something, it's much easier for us to learn by doing. Most humans are actually this way. You see children do it all the time. And then as we grow older, we do rely more and more on things like owner's manuals and how-to booklets. And now you got YouTube out there telling us, you know, how the whole world works. And we're all pretty much graduates of YouTube University. I mean, seriously. If I told you how long it took me to figure out how to get my computer to record what I wanted to record with all the equipment that I have, you would laugh at me. I know my coworkers would. I know my coworkers would look at me and go, really? You struggled with that? Yeah, I kind of did. And so with this, we have to start at baseline with these customers. And baseline means going ahead and acknowledging the fact that their car is very different from the vehicle that they're looking at now. And by having that acknowledgement, we then have the permission to then start showing the customer some items. Now, what I mean by this is that acknowledgement to permission is that you've slown yourself down. You've slowed yourself down, so when you go to show the customer something on the vehicle, you're taking those baby steps. You're taking the, hey, baseline is the little switch in your vehicle, is this old little metal chrome thing that sticks up, and you just move it forward and back. Easy enough. So now in my car, take a look at how they work. You might push down, you might push up to go ahead and get that window to activate, but you're taking the baby steps to show them how it functions. Then you get to the scary stuff where the customer's going, well, you know, I really don't want to play with that. Okay, cool. Read the room on this one. If they definitely don't want to see it, you might be stuck not showing that particular item, right? I'm all about the fact that, hey, some people just simply don't want to see particular things on the vehicle. And you know what? We have to be cool with that. We absolutely just have to be. It's not our business to really dig into why they don't want to see something. But if I'm showing them a car and they're like, I'm never going to use the navigation. Don't show me the navigation. Okay, fine. I'm not going to do that. But again, read the room. If all of a sudden you realize that this person's sitting on an Android, this person's sitting on an iPhone, and you look at them and go, hey, you ever use Siri? Oh man, I love Siri. Really? Well, now things just got a whole lot more interesting because you'll find that the average technologically deficient person has found the shortcut. And if they found that shortcut, Siri, OK Google, something along those lines. Next thing you know, that customer now has more building blocks put in place. And we can kind of skip a couple little steps along the way, right? You don't need to show them how voice connectivity really works. They kind of get the gist of it already. But what you do want to make sure of is that when you're working with that person, now I'm talking about during fact finding, during the whole needs assessment time, and you're trying to figure out how far you can go with tech, because there has to be a door. There really does with customers today, is that if I don't find an opportunity to make a good case for showing the customer tech on a new car, that customer may just be jumping around for the next few years, going from dealer to dealer to dealer, trying to find a car that's gonna work for them. In this day and age, good luck. You know, nobody makes a basic car. Trust me. I know. I just looked. There's not really much out there for somebody that's technologically deficient. So the customer ends up knowing how to use voice recognition in some way. Then ask them, hey, have you ever used Apple Maps? Oh, I use it all the time. Oh, do you now? Okay. We got something. What do you do to listen to your music? Well, you know, I use CDs typically, but I also, you know, in here, there's music. Is there now? Show me. Get the customer excited about their small or even mild accomplishments. Even if they're showing you something that is so obvious, just make them happy. These are little things that you can build off of and create very quick trust and rapport. So now, customer showing you, got all this music. Perfect. Love it. Come on out to the car real quick. Show them Apple CarPlay. Show them Android Auto. The cool thing about Apple CarPlay is that Apple CarPlay is a near mirror image of what's on the phone. Apple's always done a very good job with this. Their transition from one product to the next is just, I don't know if you can really beat it. It just works. And then with Google or Android Auto does have a little speed bump in the road when it comes to its learning curve, but really it's not that big of a deal. Once the customer figures out how to use the apps and that sort of thing, they're golden. Now, some manufacturers will allow for things like the ability for wireless Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. If this is the case with this particular customer, have the Android Auto and Apple CarPlay set to automatically come on as soon as the customer gets in the vehicle. Because if you can get it to automatically come on as soon as the customer gets in the vehicle, now they don't have to futz with things. I mean, not for nothing. Really check in with yourself here real quick. Do you enjoy using manufacturer-based navigation systems? Think it through, right? Would you rather use Apple Maps, Google Maps, Waze, or a manufacturer-based nav? Most people come to the conclusion very quickly that I'd rather use Apple Maps or Google Maps. And the reason for that is just simple ease of use, right? There's no learning curve. You don't have to go back to basics or anything along those lines. It's just stupidly simple and easy to use. So find those little easy to use things. Find those things that are simple. Find those things that will excite somebody that is not technologically with it, right? Keep in mind, they don't have to participate in technology. They've gotten this far, let's say, with their little $10 flip phone, right? Or whatever they might have. And they'll brag, hey, it's $10 a month. I wish my cell phone bill was 10 bucks a month. But take that individual, when you walk them out to the vehicle, and show them some of the cool stuff. Show them some of the easy to understand items, because those little easy to understand items end up being small springboards up to more complicated tech. So if we start off with, for example, walking up to the back of the car and you stand there for a couple of seconds and then the trunk automatically opens, whether it's by beeping or whether it's by it just pops open or what have you, all of a sudden, if you're going to see a customer that will look at the back of the car and go, well, my last one didn't do that. Oh, you're right. Your last one didn't. Now the customer has some interest. right? But if I simply just tell them, and they're already scared of technology, that, well, when you walk up to the back of the car, it's just going to automatically open. You're going to have a frenemy for a quick second here. You're going to have somebody that's looking at you going, I absolutely don't want that. Please save me. Give me something else. Is there a key I can just stick in the back and it just opens right up? Nope. Sorry. You know, because we would have people that would unlock it, leave their keys, and it would go all the way up to the top, and then they'd freak out because they can't figure out how to bring it back down. So when it comes to this, you just walk up to the back and it opens up. Oh my gosh, this is great. But you got to give it as an example. You can't really just go ahead and just rattle off that, hey, here's how it works, because that may very well scare the crap out of them. And you don't want to do that. But if you listen to the person and you find those little techy things that they're like, I can do this. Or I have I have an e-reader. Okay, so you have an e-reader. That means that flipping pages digitally is not really that big of an issue for you. Or where do you get your news? And then as they start to explain to you the web pages that they go to, you step away real quick. Just hey, I got to check on something. Pull up those web pages and just see how you interact with them. And that'll give you some sort of an idea of where this customer actually is, right? I'll find people that will go ahead and tell me, well, you know, I go to like, you know, MSN or Yahoo or something like that. Hop on their pages. They flood those things with news. Or if they say, hey, I'm using like Google News or Apple News, pull it up on your phone. It's mindlessly simple to go ahead and find what you're looking for. It's actually really cool. So the gauging the technological abilities of the customer is not always easy. Just note that when you're gauging the technological abilities of the other person, there's always something there that is going to get them to go, whoa, that's cool. Now, if they're driving the vehicle on test drive and you finally got them to go ahead and understand that, hey, the car's not going to bite you. It's not going to hurt you. You are cool. Once they've gotten to that point and then you're out on the test drive, now start breaking down, not necessarily more, some of the more complicated things, but make them use some of the easy to use things. This is one of the reasons that I always tell people, and I know dealers will say it all the time. Well, you know, always make sure you drive the vehicle off the lot first, salesman. Why? Well, for insurance purposes. No. Always make sure you drive the vehicle off the lot first to let the customer get the wiggles out. No joke. All those things that we use when we're kids, your parents use when we are kids, apply to us when we're adults. If you want a customer to pay attention to you on the test drive or pay attention to the car while they're driving it, drive the car for about the first 10, well, not quite that long, but first mile or two, and let the customer just get the wiggles out. Let them push all the buttons, pull the levers, all that stuff, especially if it's somebody that's technologically deficient. This gives them the ability, and you've granted them the permission, and you'll hear me say this a lot, ability, permission. You've granted them the permission to have the ability to start to play with the vehicle. And as they start to play with the vehicle, they're going ahead, they're pushing the buttons, right? They're turning the knobs, they're pulling the levers, they're finding all the things that they feel are complicated. And as the customer's anxieties start to raise a little bit, as they're playing with some of the stuff, you can start explaining those items to them and those anxieties will start to drop, right? So before they move over to the driver's seat, you want to get all that stuff out of the way. And so if I had the ability to ask everybody a question right now as to, well, what would happen if you didn't take this person that's technologically deficient and you let them drive first? You're going to see a lot of interesting answers when that's asked to a group. And one of the things that I see, or a few of the things that I see an awful lot is, well, the customer's going to want to play with everything. Yeah, they will. Or the customer's going to go ahead and drive us off a cliff. Well, that is actually a realistic possibility. The point is that if somebody doesn't know the technology quickly becomes an epicenter of attention for them. And if that center of attention, almost like a black hole, is just sucking their attention on in, they're not going to pay attention to the drive. There's far too many times that as sales consultants, we will take a customer on a test drive. And as they're on the test drive, all of a sudden, that customer is paying attention to everything but how the car is actually driving, right? I mean, seriously, have you ever gotten back to the dealership and looked at the customer and been like, hey, so what do you think of it? Oh man, it drove okay. What? No, I know it drove better than okay. This car is stinking awesome. What are you talking about? It drove again. And you're screaming inside your head going, I did all the right stuff. The one thing that you missed was acknowledging that the customer may actually need that time to get the wiggles out in the beginning. The ability for them to just sit down, push all the buttons, pull the levers. And like I said before, it's them adapting to their environment. Because with humans, we have two separate environments that we have to deal with and that contend with each other at all times. One is our physical environment, right? What's around us? Are we comfortable in this vehicle? Am I comfortable with this individual that I'm working with? Am I comfortable in this dealership, right? The other thing that we have to also make sure that we understand is that there is another, that other environment is between you and the customer, right? The conversations that you're having, the thoughts that are going through each other's heads. And if we don't take the time to understand who this person is, if we don't take the time to apply empathy, there's no way that we're going to be hugely successful actually selling that particular vehicle. You know, I hear people every so often, usually from managers, that'll say, well, build up the value in the car. I question an awful lot. Do they actually know what value means? Because when you look at the value proposition of the vehicle for each and every person, whether it's a technologically deficient person, whether it's an everyday person, which is just trying to get by, they might not be a pro at tech, but they're not scared of it completely. Or it's somebody that is just a tech wizard. When it comes to these three types of people, we have to treat them all a little bit differently when it comes to the newer tech on the cars. Because the technologically deficient person, I could tell the car, well, or the customer, well, it's going to keep itself in the lane. They'll love that example or that definition, but as soon as you take them on a drive in the vehicle and they feel that steering wheel move on its own, it's all over. And the reason that it's all over is quite simply because your customer's looking at you going, who's driving my car? Well, nobody is. No manufacturer is going to hire one individual to drive everybody's cars and make your steering wheels move. No, it's the tech on the car that's keeping you in the lane, right? So quite simply, or to simply put this, each individual is going to have a different layer or level of tech understanding, and we really kind of just need to absorb that before we go ahead and actually present anything. And we do need to take a little bit of time, and I really wish built into our process was the ability for us to take 5 to 10 minutes and just kind of ruminate on what the customer said so we can pick the right thing. This might be, I've gotten away with it a few times while simply going ahead and letting the customer know, okay, I'm going to select a vehicle for you, and then just going on the lot and find a car that is going to work for them. But there's no real time built into the process for us to just sit there for 4 or 5 minutes and go ahead and find the right vehicle. This is another reason why I do harp on people about product knowledge. If you are at a dealership and you're selling, or you're a manager, you should know your cars. I'm looking at you, managers. Get your know on about those. Be able to mentor your sales staff is really why I'm saying that. And so customer goes ahead, gives me the information. I need to be able to click through some things pretty quickly. I need to be able to go ahead and say, okay, so I can't show the customer this yet. If I show them this right now, they're going to freak out simply because that is far too complicated. Or if I go ahead and show them the baseline of, hey, here's how cruise control works. And then I add on in the ability for the cruise control to do, you know, its automatic functions, whatever that might be called at your manufacturer. It doesn't become quite as scary. So if I show them automatic cruise control right off the bat, now the customers are going to go the same thing that they did in the 60s when cruise control was added to vehicles as more of a, not really standard fare, but it was starting to come on the scene. Most people at that period of time were like, oh, I don't want that. Well, why? It's an awesome feature. Well, the reason I don't want that is because simply because it's driving itself for me. I'm losing control. And it's not the case. You still have control. But we have to start at a baseline. Okay. So circling back to what I was saying before, start at that baseline. Pick the first thing, level up to the next, level up to the next. Now, to cycle back around to a few episodes ago with, let's say, EV. Yes, I hear the collective groan from a couple of you. But EV is an area where the whole world is moving, and it's so technologically advanced that the vast majority of people, when they are doing this stuff or looking at vehicles, may be very confused before you even say hello to them. So with these individuals, take some time, sit down with them, and just figure out where they start. With EV, it's really going to come down to somebody coming in and going, well, you know, I don't drive enough for an EV. Well, how far do you drive? Well, I drive like 50 miles a day. Really? Because the further you go in an EV, the more money you typically save if you're driving a lot per day. But that's okay. We're going to start somewhere. And so if I find that their baseline is so low that they're still contending with a lot of the EV myths, then I might have to go ahead and take a little bit more time with that customer, get the baby steps going, and eventually we'll get to an area where now they have EV acceptance that is borderline need, right? So this is the time when we're going to walk through the customer through the fact that, hey, you know what? We just had COVID come on through. During COVID, nobody wanted to go to the gas stations. Nobody wanted to leave their house. And if they had to go to the gas station, right, here's rubber gloves, here's, sanitizer. And you know that the vast majority of gas stations checked the little box saying, yeah, we cleaned off all the handles. Most of them didn't. We are pretty in the know on that one. So if I have a customer that's in that position that is looking at EV and I got to start at baseline, figure out where the benefits are of that baseline. If it's the whole, gasoline, I've always been going to gas. What if you had a gas station in your garage? Oh, you know what? That sounds all right. Yeah, it does, because you've been doing it for 60 years. So why don't we go ahead and get you something that you don't have to do that anymore, right? You drive your 20 miles a day, right? You go back and forth from work, maybe go to church, whatever it might be. Just unplug your car and go. Explaining things in a simplistic manner is usually the best way to go about it. Whether you're looking at a gas car, whether you're looking at an EV, whether you are somebody that is getting into some of the most complicated tech on some of these vehicles, or let's say you're an engineer and you're trying to figure out exactly how to explain a lot of this stuff to the people that actually need to build the car. Simplify it. Break it down into tiny little manageable chunks. And as you do, whether you're explaining it to somebody else, you're explaining it to your kid or your customer, you're going to find that those tiny little chunks, yeah, they take more time, but you're also adding empathy into the conversation and understanding when you look at the customer and go, I get it. Sometimes this stuff ain't easy. So let me help you out a little bit. And as you're helping that individual out, you'll find that they will appreciate what you are doing to a level of appreciation that the average person doesn't really ever display, because the average person is usually out there to simply just walk in the door, to attempt to buy a car. And then when this technologically deficient person gets the vehicle, they're upset that they can't use the vast majority of the car, even though you may have broken down the whole darn thing in the beginning. Again, back to a couple podcasts ago. Nobody has ever bought the whole car, right? And again, just because I have to explain it for anybody that might be dropping on in, is that nobody has ever sat there and bought into every single little piece in the car, right? Again, if you show me the lower anchors and tethers for children because you feel I'm a safety person, I am leaving. My wife and I don't have kids. Don't want them. So with this, find the things that the customer is actually going to care about. Find the things that apply to them. And when you do, again, find that baseline. Explain it in simple terms. Walk it up to the next level with baby steps. Once the customer starts to understand the technology, and you will notice when they start to understand technology, exploring will happen. All of a sudden, you'll see the customer's finger drift and they go, ooh, what's that? Boop. And they got it. They figured it out. When it comes to this, it's time to start having fun, right? Time to show the customer, hey, look, we can play this audio in here. Hey, when the car is parked, we can play this movie if your car has that ability, or we can do this over here. And as you start to go ahead and pull that off, now the customer appreciates you more. Now, when you throw a payment in front of them, they're going to be more motivated to buy it at that higher price. Now, when you go ahead and you want to make your higher grossing deal, you can do it and get paid more money. Or you can more easily activate the customer's ability to be receptive to new information and possibly start throwing more stuff out at them. And as you're throwing more stuff out at them, they start to get more excited about the vehicle. And then eventually they're like, you know what? This is the perfect one for me. I'm just going to buy it. I'm good. Right? But we have to also cycle back to the fact that profit and gross is generated by somebody actually being happy. And so I can go on that all day long on that train. That is a completely different podcast. But again, take a look at how you explain things to people. Take a look at what you can improve. Take a look at if I'm talking to somebody and they are not getting it, not in a disrespectful manner at all, but attempt to explain it to like a 12-year-old. Right. And the reason I say 12-year-old or 13-year-old is because that individual has the ability to grasp technologies, just like an old timer that might be sitting in front of you. But they also have the ability to go ahead and understand how to manipulate that particular item. Right. So if I can explain it to them, and what I mean by that is that if I hand them a phone, they know that they can touch the screen and it will do something. Right. And so if I have that ability to explain it to the 12-year-old in a way that they grasp it on, let's say, the first go, right? Very simplistic, very direct. Step one, step two, step three. If I can do that well, next thing you know, I have a customer that will all of a sudden go ahead and move right on into the vehicle because they no longer fear the technology. Now, remember, every single customer that you deal with is buying a vehicle because they want it. Unless, of course, they don't have one or they have more butts than seats. The deal is that people are motivated by emotion to buy something. I should just make that a tagline. So that being said, show that customer the techie stuff. Walk them through piece by piece by piece. Try not to throw them any curveballs because as soon as you do, they're going to go, what? This is crazy. If they want certain pieces of tech turned off, know what those pieces of tech are, pre-test drive, and then shut those things down, right? Our job during presentation and test drive is to heighten that customer's emotional experience so they can be happy. Well, if they get in that car and all of a sudden it's driving itself and doing all sorts of crazy stuff, they're not really going to want to hang out. So as far as that goes, go out to the car, maybe shut down some of those settings. Let the customer know that they're on the vehicle and you have deactivated them for the test drive, but you really want to target giving them a presentation and a test drive that is catered and designed for them. All right. So that is it for today. As far as that goes, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, obviously you can leave them in the comments now. That's awesome. In addition to that, if you're listening to this on the regular podcast, Auto Nerd is now on the YouTube. Just go on over there, type in AUTOKNERD. Hopefully it pops up. If not, I will put the link to it in the show notes of the podcast and you can just get right on over there and just watch this now. Load it up on your YouTube. It is, I don't know. I love YouTube. So as far as that goes, happy selling out there. Have a great one. If you are in traffic, drive safe. I'm going to throw this out there for you. If you want to get the speed on EV stuff, there's a really good podcast that I've been listening to for a long time. And if you want to check it out, first off, subscribe to this one. Your app's already open. Subscribe to this one. Hit the subscribe button, right? It's like right over there-ish. But after you subscribe to my channel, head on over to EV News Daily. Right. Especially on YouTube, the guy's trying to hit 10,000 users, but he reads the news so you don't have to. It's great stuff. I listen to him nearly every day if I get a chance. But aside from that, hop in on that. He'll help you. And I'm trying to think of anything else. Nope. That's pretty much it for today. Next week, we're going to be diving on into a completely new topic that I haven't really ever talked about much. So we'll see what's up there. And then other than that, I'll talk to you guys later. Happy selling. Talk to you soon.